Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic.
Dr. David Sensor, then head of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, is now in private industry. He devised the swine flu program, and he pushed it.
You began to give flu shots to the American people in October of 76.
October 1st.
By that time, how many cases of swine flu around the world had been reported?
There had been several reported, but none confirmed.
Where did this so-called deadly variety of flu, where did it first hit back in 1976? It began right here at Fort Dix in New Jersey in January of that year when a number of recruits began to complain of respiratory ailments, something like the common cold.
And if you look at the infection case, the infection fatality rate, not the case fatality rate, where you get a diagnosis, you take the symptomatics and the asymptomatics and put it together, the statistic that was published in May was less than influenza.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Thursday, December 10th, 2020. Thank you for joining me. Today's going to be focused on vaccines, of course, because we just can't stop getting censored on all the other platforms. I'm not going to be mincing my words or saying different phrases to hide from the algorithms. No, we're not worried about that on this show. We're going to bring you the unfiltered truth, exactly what you should be asking for. And this is going to be about the vaccine discussion, but some very alarming parts about this in regard to the vaccine safety trials, as well as the vaccine itself, as well as mandatory vaccine legislation actually being introduced in New York, despite everybody still saying that's never going to happen. No one will ever force you to do it. As we're watching it happen, we're going to continue to talk about the vaccine discussion in regard to just the overall manipulation of the full topic, from the side effects we're seeing, the lies about it, from the previous aspects of this, the cover up of the whole story. It's outrageous what we're seeing today. And the big one we're going to start with is India, because I believe, since somebody sent this to me this morning, and I have come to the conclusion that the location where this is happening is where there was a vaccine trial, and I'll let you decide for yourself. But to start right off, I want to make sure to make a very quick point about Donald Trump, I guess, in regard to the discussion of the election, the discussion of what's ongoing still, because you know that I haven't really been focusing on this discussion because I'm on the mind that there's a lot happening. I would just put it this way, a lot less happening than is being said. Doesn't mean that I don't think there's not manipulation, because I've covered that 100 times over, because there is every single year. That's the thing, is once you can pull yourself out of the two-party illusion, you realize that it's not about fighting for the one side because they're all there on the same side. It's about realizing that it's broken and we need to change that. And as long as you put your eggs in the basket of one individual savior, you won't realize the full picture. But to start, just so you know what's going on, one third of U.S. states have now joined Texas, the Supreme Court bid to overturn the election. Right? That's just wanted to let you know what's happening. That seems like a big deal. But at the end of the day, we'll have to wait and see how it pans out here, because we keep seeing a lot of hyper, you know, really serious talk. Oh my God, this is happening. And there's a new overturned case here and there's a new lawsuit there. And then a few days later, it's dismissed or it's, you know, something happens. So I'm not trying to downplay it. This is a really big deal, because I'm hoping this is going to lead to exposing the whole thing, left and right, the broken reality that we currently live under. Sadly, that usually isn't the case. But so you know, this is happening, and I'll follow up if more things are going. Of course, what's not being covered by those that are screaming this is the most important thing is that Trump also just recently signed an executive order promoting the use of trustworthy artificial intelligence in the federal government. But it's all a deep state ploy and a 4D chess move, though. Don't look too deep into it. Don't realize how all of this is still part of the same agenda that Biden is now picking up without missing a beat. But to start off today, we're going to start with something that I think is the most important thing I've seen in a long time. And this is really interesting, because it's not a secret right now that there are some pretty severe side effects from these vaccines. What's funny is claiming that that's the case before we got to this story would have been dismissed as conspiracy theory. Because it's because this vaccine discussion is one of the most politicized things I've ever seen in my life. And that's because this is clearly a linchpin of this agenda. But it's interesting. We've come face to face with the acknowledgement, the admission that there's very severe effects. They only say, well, it's only because we rushed it, but we rushed it for your safety. Despite that is causing the problems that hurt you. I don't think too deep into it, but this appears to be a vaccine trial that overlapped with the exact location and the exact time frame of when this mysterious illness in India took place. So let's go through the information and you can decide for yourself. Here's the New Indian Express, and thank you for the individual who reached out for me. I'm not sure if they want me to say their name or if that is even their name on the email, but this is the point, guys. This is how open source research works, is that people out there can send information that they find might be interesting, and it, you know, who knows? You don't know if what you're staring at and the thought you just had may be the first person to think that in all of the world. I haven't seen anybody else talk about this, so thank you to that person. Human trials of COVID vaccine at Andhra Medical College soon. September 2020. This, I don't want to try to mispronounce this. This is just the location we're talking about. So you can see it. Well, I guess for the podcast, it's, I don't know if it's Visa or this is probably the one of the worst pronunciation locations in the world for me, but Visakhapatnam. That's just horrible. But for the podcast, this is where it's saying, you'll notice this on all the articles, meaning, you know, this is an important point. Now it says Andhra Medical College / King George Hospital, very important, has been geared up to conduct the third phase of human trials of coronavirus vaccine, Covishield, one we've talked about before, developed jointly by University of Oxford's Jenner Institute and AstraZeneca. You know, the other one that had a really bad run and only got about 60% efficacy recently, as well as had one person die. They said it was a placebo, though, but it was a meningitis vaccine as the placebo, which no one wants to care to explain why that even makes sense. But as much as it is sort of a thing I'm told is common, sounds like it's ridiculous. But the point is somebody died and they're not doing too well in that trial. So that's very relevant that this is the vaccine that they're testing in this location. The Pune-based Serum Institute of India has partnered with British-Swedish pharmaceutical company AstraZeneca to manufacture COVID-19 vaccine in India. A team of S2 conducted virtual inspection of facility and equipment at Andhra Medical College. This is Dr. Sudhakar, AMC principal and co-investigator to vaccine trials. Dr. Sudhakar said a 20-member team, including principal investigator, Madhavi, said that 6 co-investigators was formed for conducting the clinical trials. A training and awareness program for the team was conducted. Okay, so going forward to the next, well, actually, this is just another article that Hindu from a month later confirming the same thing, just in case people don't like one or the other. Here's the Hindu saying the state government has approved the conduct of 2 clinical trials in the Andhra Medical College King George Hospital here in India, and a communique from the Directorate of Medical Education was received in this regard Thursday. So it's 100% happening in King George Hospital, Andhra Medical College in India. So here's Andhra Medical College, just to make sure we're clear that this is a university in India, and this is a Medical College Road, King George Hospital. That's the address. Then that's why it's called Andhra Medical College - King George Hospital. All the things we're looking at here. Okay, to the point. This is November 13th. First dose of Covishield vaccine given to 80 volunteers at King George Hospital. The reason I'm making that differentiation, despite it making it clear in the articles that it is definitely in India, is that there's King George Hospitals in, say, London and other places. But this is clear in all the articles. They make sure this is in India, this is taking place. Now it says the AMC principal said the Indian Council of Medical Research will decide on protocol for administering vaccine to the general public after successful trials in the country. So just make sure that's abundantly clear this is happening in India. Now it says, again, you can see, you know, the location we're talking about here. The first dose of COVID vaccine candidate Covishield was given to 80 volunteers as part of the third phase of clinical trials. Andhra Medical College is where we're talking about here. Now it says, again, they've rested the same point in the other article. He said a 20-member team is conducting the trials of COVID vaccine at King George Hospital. They will analyze the data received from the centers of clinical trials across the country, meaning India, to ascertain its effectiveness. The AMC principal said the Indian Council of Medical Research will decide on protocol for administering vaccine to the general public after successful trials in the country. I think we can put to bed any discussion that this is not happening in India. Okay, so let's take a look at King George Hospital. Here's where this is in India. You can see right here, we got the Andhra. Oh, I just lost it when I zoomed in. Andhra Pradesh, right? That's the area. That's this whole area you can see that is sort of outlined. Oh, actually, well, this is the one. This one is outlined, I believe, right here. Right, there you go. So this is the Andhra Pradesh, that reddish outline around this little area, and it goes all the way up to the top right there. Okay, so that's where King George Hospital is, right inside this province, I guess. I'm assuming that's the term that's used. Okay, King George Hospital. Now, let's make sure we're clear that in less than 2 weeks, or I guess it would be about 2 weeks, a little more than 2 weeks later. So an interesting time frame in regard to what we're talking about and the side effects of these things, as we're right now being told about the kind of weeks later side effects. Right now, we're hearing about that in the media. Health officials and experts are still baffled by a mysterious illness that has left hundreds hospitalized and one person dead in the Indian state of Andhra Pradesh. So first of all, just in the general sense, we're talking about the exact same province. So in the same province where they're holding this, where they're having volunteers take an experimental vaccine, and this is right where King George Hospital is, in this province, okay? So first of all, before we even say, yeah, it's a big province, it could have been a lot of places, first of all, realize it's the exact same province, is where this mysterious illness happened. Then we look at, and again, so that's the full province. Let's read the article. It says, health officials and experts are still baffled by a mysterious illness. Like, no one thinks to think, hey, wait a minute, didn't we just do an experimental trial in this exact location? Nah, we're still, experts are baffled. That's usually what they say when they, that's the mindset. It says that has left over 500 people hospitalized and one person dead in the southern Indian state of Andhra Pradesh. The illness was first detected Saturday evening in Eluru, which is right there, which is inside the same exact location that we're talking about. Okay, so it says, people started convulsing without any warning, which sounds very familiar to what we're talking about, both with regard to claims of COVID-19, as well as the possible side effects of the vaccines we're talking about. Since then, symptoms ranging from nausea, anxiety, to loss of consciousness. Yeah, seems pretty common to the things we're already being told, have been reported in 546 patients admitted to hospitals. Many have recovered to return home, while 148 are still being treated, according to the government spokesperson. What is confounding experts is that there doesn't seem to be any common link among the hundreds of people who have fallen sick. So if we're talking about this location as a little town of where this is happening, and we're understanding that this is exactly where they started this vaccine trial, I find that to be pretty damn ridiculous that nobody is going, wait a minute, didn't they just do a vaccine trial in this hospital? Meaning that anybody within Andhra Pradesh that wanted to be involved would go to that hospital, possibly from their town right there next to it? Yeah, certainly possible. But you know what I want you to do is think for yourself. I don't want you to think, I mean, here, I'm even like trying to hold back my opinions because that's what's getting me, well, technically, what's getting me censored is showing you this information. But they claim that it's my coloring of the information that makes it misinformation. So imagine if I just came on, didn't even talk, and just walked through the data for you. Here's the CDC, here's the FDA, here's what they said, here's what this means. They'll still censor this because they don't want you to read into it the way that they think we're reading into it, even though it's true. Welcome to 1984. So if we're staring at the reality that we have the same location of the hospital that had a vaccine, experimental vaccine trial, and then we have an outbreak of a mysterious illness in the exact same province and the town it started in, realistically, a car drive away. And the point being that if anybody in this province that wanted to take part in this trial, they would have gone to that hospital to do so. I don't know about you, but that seems like a pretty obvious thing that they're baffled about. Nobody knows that we had a vaccine trial here. Now, remember that on top of that, we've talked about India in regard to Ben Swan and Mickey Willis and Bill Gates and James Corbett's talked about this as well, the idea that this is not a secret, that it's been scrubbed from the internet, but Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation vaccine programs in India have caused a lot of harm. That you can't throw a stone in India without hitting somebody who wants to tell you their story about how their child or their mother or their father or anybody was injured by this vaccine program. But weird how you just can't find that online. The reason these things happen in these countries is because, one, many of them are essentially a vassal state of these bigger powers like the U.S. government, as well as the fact that it's a testing ground for what they want to roll out later, or at least try to. So I don't know about you, but that seems like a pretty interesting correlation. Well, think for it for yourself. Let's move forward to the idea that, yeah, it is actually dangerous despite the correlation to a mysterious illness that seems to be exactly in line with everybody else's issues with this vaccine after the fact. But hypothetical things aside, let's stare at the facts. Six participants died during the Pfizer COVID vaccine trial, according to the FDA documents. Newly released FDA documents has revealed deaths of six participants during Pfizer's COVID vaccine trials. Now, I reported two, and there's a reason, and you'll see right here, because two are the only ones they claim took the actual vaccine. So sort of like the AstraZeneca trial, where one person died within it, and they gave them the placebo, which every outlet reported as a saline solution, which it very clearly wasn't, as I confirmed with the actual group. Oh, and by the way, I should say before I move forward that I absolutely reached out to George King Hospital, as well as specifically the Andraha Medical College, which same thing. This is the same. It's Andraha Medical College - King George Hospital. I reached out for comment and have yet to hear back. Just so you're aware that I do my due diligence and I'm waiting to hear if they have any comment on what actually happened. I'm actually expecting to have someone go, oh my God, thanks for reaching out. We can't get a hold of anybody. This is out of control and we know what's going on. Well, that would be ideal, but we'll have to wait and see. But as we stare at this, we can see that things are actually a little more dangerous than they want you to believe. A lot more dangerous. Back to the point about the other placebo, they all reported it as a saline solution when really it was a meningitis vaccine, which is ridiculous. That was why I jumped over to the other point, is that we reached out and confirmed that. Yes, indeed, it was a meningitis vaccine. How, you know, is it that hard for the mainstream to do what they say we're supposed to do? Or is it that they just don't care? Because they clearly reported that incorrectly. Why? Because they don't want you to understand that this is a vaccine the person died from, because either they think that will be misinterpreted as what it clearly is, or they just don't want you to taint the whole concept that vaccines are completely safe and you shouldn't worry at all. Because that's not true. $4 billion worth of damages have been paid out in the vaccine court, the vaccine injury compensation court. According to one Pfizer trial participant, after the second shot, he woke up with chills, shaking so hard he cracked his teeth, or a tooth. And he said, it hurt even just to lay in my bed sheet. Yeah, that's just a moderate side effect. Don't worry. Just take 3 days of cracking your teeth and barely being able to lay in your bed. It's all good, though. And then come back for the second one in a couple months, or whatever it is, weeks, and be monitored for 24 months. It says FDA announced on Tuesday that two trial participants have died after receiving their vaccine. Now, understand, if we're talking about a grouping of 164 people and two of them died, that's one is too much for me. And by the way, if anybody dies, I don't care if it's one in 100,000, you have the right to say no. You have the right to say no anyway, by the way, despite what they're telling you or forcefully telling you. But nonetheless, when somebody dies, it adds much more credence to the concept that you have every right to be like, I don't want to risk dying. That's not your choice to make for the greater collective good of society, right? As we always keep pointing out, it's not their choice. International law, according to Universal Declaration on Bioethics of Human Rights from the United Nations, says quite clearly the interests of and welfare of the individual should have priority over the sole interest of society, of science or society. It's international law. So let's just acknowledge how often our government is routinely ignoring everything they say everybody else has to do, such as the fact that your consent, according to Article 6, the consent, where appropriate, be expressed and may be withdrawn by the person concerned at any time for any reason without disadvantage or prejudice, such as immunity passport to stop you from living your daily life, or let making, you know, it making forcefully making you do any number of things because you don't do what they tell you to do. Consent may be withdrawn by the person concerned at any time for any reason without disadvantage or prejudice. Those things matter, but not in the world that they're building for us. But only two that took the vaccine actually died, which, again, is way more than we should be allowing. According to Mariv, a sister publication of the Jerusalem Post, the FDA actually announced on Tuesday that there was currently not enough research to guarantee the vaccine's safety for immunocompromised groups, pregnant women, and children. So, like, half the country? That's unbelievable. I mean, that's obviously an overshot. I'm being facetious, but that's a lot of people. I mean, somebody in the chat, please do the math. Children, pregnant women, immunocompromised. Do you know how many? I mean, what did they just say the other day? The immunocompromised children are like 50% of them have some kind of chronic inflammation. That's incredible. So fine, that's half the people out there don't. But this is what they're trying to tell you. That they do not have enough research to guarantee that it's safe. If they can't prove it's safe for pregnant women and children, why do you think it's safe for you? That's ridiculous. But on that note, well, I'll just read the rest of it here. It says, according to the published data, six of the participants in the experiment died, two of whom received the vaccine, four of the placebo. How many times do we need to see somebody getting a placebo that dies in one of these trials before we realize that they're clearly gaming the trials? If you give someone a placebo, a saline solution, and then factor in the general odds that people would die if you just, you know, that's the idea. Is that if, let's say somebody goes in this trial and they're 80 years old, and they die of natural causes during the trial, even though they got a placebo, that would still count as a person who died during the trial. Just so we're understanding the full breadth of that. But if we're talking about four people out of 164 that just, they want us to believe, just kind of randomly died of natural causes while being in this, that is way over the what you would expect in a group of 164 of the kind of people they're doing, because they're not using elderly people. They made that clear. So if they really want you to believe it was just a quirky coincidence. The Jerusalem Post, meanwhile, changed the headline of their story from FDA announces deaths of two Pfizer vaccine trial participants to this. First Pfizer coronavirus vaccines expected to land on Wednesday. Oh, well, that's quite a change. Now it sounds like positive news. Isn't that funny how that happens? Well, guess what? Unlucky for Jerusalem Post and their propaganda brothers and sisters out there, we save things, or rather this article saved things, but people need to continue to do that. FDA announces death of two Pfizer vaccine trials. Understand how crazy that is. Now, you wanted to see something really interesting? Here's the updated version. Anybody want to point out where they say that they changed the title? Oh, I guess they just forgot to do that. You know, that entirely required journalistic integrity concept. Yeah, we don't. That's just a mistake. They must have just forgotten to do what they swear up and down that we never do. Except that's what we always do without fail. When you change an entire headline, and mind you, probably a lot more within this article, there are points I already found that are different. If you change the headline and the article and pretend like it's the same title, because you can see, I forget, let me make sure you guys can see this. Oh yeah, here, I just have to move this down really quickly, 1 second. So just take a quick peek at the actual URL. Believe you guys. Oh, the URL doesn't zoom. So just do your best to see it. It clearly says two individuals died from Pfizer vaccine, right? So they change the headline, change the article, but leave the actual link the same. So people who are sharing it, when they that changes on Twitter, understand. So if you shared it while it said this, now it says that. That is probably intentional, because now they've unwittingly made you an advertiser for vaccine positive propaganda. Hey, it's almost ready. Hooray. That's what they changed that to. That's disgusting. But just realize how maliciously dishonest these people are. In every way, they're trying to manipulate your perception of what's going on. Let me change this back so it's not... I don't like the stuff showing. It makes it distracting. There we go. Okay, so going forward... And here's, by the way, the actual documentation. This is not fake news. As much as they're always going to claim that until they just expect you not to do your due diligence. They expect none of us. They do not expect us to take the time to research. They think we should trust what they say, despite them being wrong easily more than half of the time. And that's not an opinion, guys. I mean, gosh darn it. How many times are we on the show where I'm showing you where they're like explicitly lying to you or just not doing their job because they're obviously benefit, you know, patted on the head for doing so. But it says, when trial participant Yazir Batlavi first read Moderna's 22-page consent form warning of side effects ranging from nothing at all to death, he felt pretty worried. You don't say. That's the moment you put it down and you walk away. How absurd. I can't believe anybody anywhere in the world would sign a document that said, yeah, you could die, And this is what, for the benefit of everybody? Like, why would you do that? These people actually believe that their potential, like they're being patriotic for risking their death for the betterment of society, and that's not what's happening. That is why they use patriotism. They use your emotions and your anger, your fear. They use your emotions to manipulate your perception. So it circumvents your logic. So instead of going, geez, I could die, screw that, you go, oh, it's my duty as an American to potentially die for you. In a regard that you haven't been honest, where you haven't been transparent, where you're continuing to lie about the process of everything involved, where you're then, I mean, I could go on for the next 20 minutes. There is an unending list of things where they've been dishonest. Due to the number of reports of severe adverse reactions, Moderna has already stopped testing the highest dose. Oh, cool. So instead of stopping the trial because of incredibly high side effects and problems, they just quietly reduced the dosage. Right? So then it looks like it's going better. And then when you get the big dose and then another big dose twice in a row, well, then you just have to assume that they got it wrong. Right? As I always say, guys, they would rather be incompetent than criminal, or they would rather be perceived as incompetent than a criminal. Earlier, drug giant AstraZeneca had stopped global trials of the coronavirus vaccine after it caused a mysterious illness in one of its volunteers. A mysterious illness in one of its volunteers. What does that sound like? The company said it is investigating the cause of the unexplained illness, but did not say who had stopped the trial. The mysterious illness is reported to be an inflammatory syndrome known as transverse myelitis, which may lead to paralysis. Isn't that interesting? So as we're hearing about this mysterious illness in India, in the exact location of the hospital where they were doing a coronavirus vaccine trial, and they had all the same symptoms of exactly what we're staring at now. Where was I? Right here. No, wait. There we go. I find that to be a little too on the nose. AstraZeneca. Remember, the same group that they're working with in regard to this trial. It's right here. AstraZeneca. Okay, so AstraZeneca has a vaccine trial in India in the same location that they later have a mysterious illness outbreak. They have all the same symptoms of the same problems that they're claiming this person had during a previous AstraZeneca trial where they stopped because of another mysterious illness of one of its volunteers. How much do we actually need before we start realizing that they will never dig into this because of what it shows us? Because of the, like, look, even if this leads to a dead end, they will hide it from you because they will be afraid that you'll end up believing that it's more dangerous. But that's your right to know the full picture and come to your own conclusions. Today, they are literally cultivating what you're allowed to see because they think that will lead to your collective perception being what they want it to be. In other words, they do not want you to think for yourself. But they're doing it in a way that quietly reduces what you're allowed to look at instead of simply standing up and saying, you can't look at these things. They just make them no longer there. That's what's happening. I find this to be incredibly obvious. But as always, I leave it to everybody out there to come to their own conclusions about how obvious this information is. That's a bad way to say that. Obviously, I think it's obvious, but I want you guys to think about this for yourself. Reach out with information. Tell me what you think, especially if you think I'm wrong. Tell me why. But I think it's interesting to think about things like this. Duplicate it real quickly so I can... don't freeze on me. Transverse myelitis, which can lead to paralysis, which, by the way, is a very interesting correlation with some things that we've been seeing, right? Like, even in the beginning, this is all hypothetical, right? I don't believe what we saw, first of all, in regard to, like, China in the beginning, people passing out and twitching and having convulsions, which, by the way, is exactly what we're seeing in India right now. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I just think that it's an interesting correlation. But here, and remember, the chronic inflammation is exactly what the doctor recently said is half of children in this country have. Transverse myelitis is an inflammation of both sides of one section of the spinal cord. This neurological disorder. Remember, we just talked about people having neurological side effects of these vaccines because they're RNA vaccines. Other damages, the insulating material covering the nerve cell fibers. Transverse myelitis interrupts the messages that the spinal cord nerves send throughout the body. This can cause pain, muscle weakness, paralysis, sensory problems, or bladder or bowel dysfunction. Okay, well, hold on, Ryan. This is something that we're seeing potentially in a previous trial with AstraZeneca. Okay, but if we go forward a little bit, if I jumped the gun. I'm switching myself up here. 4 volunteers developed facial paralysis after taking Pfizer COVID-19 jab. Yes, a different vaccine. Promoting FDA to recommend surveillance for cases. It says 4 trial participants who received the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine experienced facial paralysis, according to the Food and Drug Administration. Where was it? Oh, really? They had this picture up that was crazy because of how alarming it is. Oh, well. It's just that I wanted to show the image of how what this looks like because it is quite alarming. Let me just search this real quick. I bet you it'll pop up. Images always go a long way with people that don't know what this means beforehand. Okay, let's just do this. Okay, so this is what it was. Like, this is the myelite, what was the term they're using? I guess Bell's palsy is what they're saying this is. And this is what it looks like, essentially. Like, you lose control over, like, a side of your mouth or up or down. Like, you can't control it. Right. And this is a real thing. And this is called Bell's palsy. And this is what they're saying this vaccine caused. Or at least saying that there's I'll get to it when this stops freezing. This is being reported. Understand about the same vaccine that is already being given to people. Of course, there we go. The timing. I need you guys to keep all these things in your mind as we go through all of this. Oh, I closed the wrong one. Well, okay, we'll just go through this real quick. So it says the potentially concerned cases were revealed after the U.S. drug regulator published an analysis of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine ahead of a meeting to consider emergency use authorization. Right? So the FDA said the issue should be monitored as the jab becomes more widely available. According to the documents, Bell's palsy, a form of temporary facial paralysis. Okay. Was reported by 4 participants during phase 3 trials. The individuals had been administered the jab, but no members of the placebo group experienced similar effects. Right. Seems pretty easy to at least. I mean, at the end, right now you're staring at this right now and you can see that there's the same argument about the placebo individuals who died. They're saying, well, 4 of them died, but they didn't get the jab. The individuals had been administered the jab and no members of the placebo group experienced similar effects. That holds a lot of weight. And they would say the same if it was proving their point. The condition resembles a stroke. I find these things to be very, very interesting. Now I'm losing my place. No, it was right here. You get it. That's still there. The condition resembles a stroke, with most sufferers watching helplessly as one side of their face droops and their muscles go limp. In some rare situations, both sides of their face may become paralyzed. Now understand, guys, this is already happening. These people are already going to be suffering this, likely for the rest of their lives, because of this vaccine experiment. It is unclear what causes Bell's palsy, although the temporary paralysis usually goes away on its own. Now, here's the point. So we're not, you know, they'll censor it regardless, but the FDA claimed that the frequency of the health issue is, quote, consistent with the expected background rate in the general population. Now, this is a lie because they're playing into the 30,000 manipulation. If 164 people got the vaccine, and they're not talking about placebo here, the people that got the vaccine, which all of these people did, developed this issue, that if 4 people out of 164, that is not the actual representation of Bell's palsy in this country. Or the world. This is a lie coming from the FDA, or rather a very strong manipulation of the data, like everything else we're looking at. Still, the federal regulator recommended surveillance for cases, so they're still watching it. So I believe very strongly that what we're staring at here is something very similar to all. I mean, all, look at the correlation between all the experimental trials and everything we continue to see. And how much that correlates with exactly what we are seeing in India in regard to this mysterious illness that we're baffled by that took place in the exact same location as a vaccine trial. Now, all of that being said, all the very obvious reasons to be concerned that everyone's trying to downplay, New York State Assembly introduces a bill mandating COVID-19 vaccines. Right? So even though there's some, this is New York, right? The FDA is still, right? the UK is already giving these vaccines. The US is in regard to the trials, but this is right now we're still debating whether this is going to be something that's approved. New York State is introducing mandatory bills. Does that not show you that they're already, I mean, that's what's going to happen. If you haven't even proven this is going to be made yet, and they're already mandating it, get the hint, guys. New York State, remember, this is exactly what people said would never happen. They've already introduced legislation. That doesn't sound like that will never happen. That sounds like people very aggressively trying to make that happen. New York State Assemblywoman Linda Rosenthal, a Democrat who represents the New York 67th Assembly District, quietly introduced a bill on December 4th that would require COVID-19 vaccine to be administered, this is a quote, in accordance with the Department of Health's COVID-19 Vaccination Administration Program and mandates vaccination in certain situations. Realize that that is in accordance with their health. So they have been setting this stage for a long time, and that is why they previously set it in their, which by the way, if ever any of these things, mandates or laws, contradict the Constitution, they're null and void, according to previous precedent of the U.S. Supreme Court. So when they set the stage with mandates about how they need to push this if we don't reach certain herd immunity, and then they pass this legislation that says that they are allowed to force it on you if that doesn't come to pass because of things they said months ago that were never officially voted on, that were never actually legal in the first place, it doesn't mean anything. But that's what they're saying right here. That if they don't, they will make you take this. Every New Yorker, except those medically exempt, they say, are required to receive the vaccine if the state's vaccination efforts do not achieve sufficient immunity from COVID-19. But remember, right now, they're all telling you that this vaccine is not capable of that. So this is them telling you that they're going to force everyone to take it. Because it's a guarantee that we won't reach immunity. That's a guarantee. Because they keep telling us this thing will not stop transmission. All it will do is lessen your symptoms. Fauci has said that. At least three other people in mainstream positions have already told you that. So let me read that again. Every New Yorker except those medically exempt are required to receive the vaccine if the state's vaccination efforts do not achieve sufficient immunity from COVID-19. Which again is an absolute guarantee with what we're currently staring at. Rosenthal told the TV, the news station, the bill was, quote, a protective health measure that would, quote, ensure our residents are safe and protected against further spread. Except it's not, so if it's safe and against further spread, but it's actually not, because they just told us that it will not stop transmission. So this is another, I guess, either a mindless politician that's regurgitating what she's been told, or someone who is intentionally lying to you. In any case, a person who should not be in that position. A liar or a moron. Your pick. And they're telling you it will keep you safe against further spread. That's exactly what that quote says. Except it's simply not true, as even Fauci has told you. So anybody want to comment on Rosenthal and why they continue to lie to you? I mean, they're literally lying versus what the mainstream just said a moment ago. It's because the people out there that want to believe this is safe or want to believe this is going to lead us back to normal, even though they keep telling us it won't, are going to just hear this and go, oh, thank God. Oh, thank God it's going to bring us back to normal. Except you just were told that's not the case. So the point is they're going to push this at you and tell you it will prevent further spread. And then when it doesn't, when it's clear that it's not happening, and on top of that, half the people there won't take it because they don't believe in it in the first place, they're going to then pass this mandate, which is already unconstitutional, which means you're allowed to ignore it, but they'll bring their enforcement arm and force you to physically. They will continue to march this forward. That's what they're telling you. That's invent the event this has actually passed. And the point being, I find no reason why it won't. But in an event where not enough people get vaccinated to reach herd immunity, quote, the Department of Health and state of the state can then say that we need people to get the vaccination. Rosenthal explained that an estimated 75% to 80% of the population would need to be vaccinated in order to achieve herd immunity. But that's actually not true. Right? We've already talked about this many, many times.
Award-winning researcher, retired microbiologist, Dr. Sukrit Bakadi. Which, in your view, has been the most injurious to the public and not suited to the science?
The looming vaccination.
On the issue of the vaccination, we'll get to that in a moment. But on the social distancing and the masks, just focusing on that for a moment. Which of those two in your research and your work has been the most displaced?
Both.
Both have. Not at all point. Backed up by the science.
Zero science. This is something that we, and when I say we, it's hundreds and thousands of people are standing up to say, please, all of you, sit down and think about this, read up on this, and then make up your own mind. Don't believe things that people are telling you. Think for yourself and come to your own conclusions. That is why we wrote this book, because all the arguments saying, telling you why what you are doing is absolutely nonsense.
And doctor, on the issue of the vaccine, tonight Anthony Fauci on this network actually said that 75% of Americans are going to have to get vaccinated to reach what they call herd immunity. Do you buy that?
What utter nonsense. Someone who says this has not the slightest inkling of the basics of immunology. And this is very, very surprising for someone of Dr. Fauci's standing. And I would dare to defy him anywhere in the world at any time.
Well, so you believe that the COVID vaccine is not necessary?
I think it's downright dangerous. And I warn you, if you go along these lines, you are going to go to your doom. And it's so, so unnecessary.
So he's confirming the same thing, saying that it's that not only does Fauci not know what he's talking about, in his opinion, but the idea that we have to reach herd immunity with that many people is nonsense, right? Nonsense. Well, here's another clip from somebody you might recognize.
What is it? What is it about humanity that wants to go to all the details and stuff and listen? You know, these guys like, you know, he doesn't know anything really about anything, and I'd say that to his face, nothing. The man thinks you can take a blood sample and stick it in an electron microscope, and if it's got a virus in there, you'll know it. He doesn't understand electron microscopy, and he doesn't understand medicine, and he should not be in a position like he's in. Most of those guys up there on the top are just total administrative people, and they don't know anything about what's going on the bottom. You know, those guys.
That's Kerry Mullis. I'm actually going to break down the longer video and probably have some more clips for you in the future. This was, I just recently came across this. That's the creator of the PCR test, you know, who has spoken out countless times. You know, I find it sort of like how they continue to use the Biowarfare Defense Act that Dr. Boyle created, even though he continues to point to them and say they're making bioweapons and they're a bunch of criminals. And it's just funny how they do that. They're using his thing and pointing to him as a hero, even though he, before he passed, in a oddly timed manner right before all of this, saying that they are liars and they don't know what they're doing. It's pretty revealing, I would say. But on that point, remember that they're telling us 75%, 80%, need to be vaccinated in order to reach herd immunity. And many people have come out and said that the idea of herd immunity is a concept that's always been there, but the idea that we have to get the vaccine unless we get 80% get that vaccine that we'll be in trouble is just simply ridiculous. Because if already how many people have gotten this, so we're told, again, theorizing within their narrative, which means that all these people have antibodies, which means they all have immunity in regard to how we know that these things work, despite all the bleedings of mainstream that they've never confirmed about somehow people getting reinfected. That's because of a faulty PCR test. Fauci himself said this in the very beginning, that yes, that's what everything else is like, and it's going to likely you'll be immune after you get sick. So the point is that is the idea. The reason they want 75 to 80% is because this is not a vaccine that does what we've been told previous vaccines do. This is a genetically editing vaccine that will change your DNA makeup. That's what this is designed. I've done whole shows on this. They are changing the way your body responds to vaccines, not fighting the vaccine. They're changing your genetic makeup in hopes that you fight the vaccine after that. Not that the vaccine gets made and that creates the things that fight the vaccine or fight the virus, excuse me. It's just simply not how this works. So that's why they want that many. But in regard to the normal sense, arguably in their logic, it's already there. And you would maybe need just a few more people, again, within their logic. I ask nobody to, I want no one to take this thing. That's my opinion, but I think it's dangerous. If just a few more people took it, well, maybe they could reach it. But no, they want that many people. And the point is, you're not going to reach that because 50% of this country is adamant about never taking this thing. And they know that. That's why they've already set it up to be able to create mandatory vaccinations based on the you're in danger for your safety narrative, despite the fact that that is established in international law, that that's not a valid argument. You cannot say that for safety or for science that we need to do this and you're not as important. No, the interest and welfare of the individual should have priority over the sole interest of science or society according to international law. But don't forget, your government doesn't care about international law. It cares about using it to achieve its goals. Barbara Lowe Fisher, co-founder and president of the National Vaccine Information Center, described the legislation as inappropriate. Quote, it is inappropriate for public health officials and state legislators to be introducing legislation that mandates use of an experimental vaccine being considered for release under an emergency use authorization. That is an absolutely factual statement. It is an experimental vaccine. It has never successfully been done. And yes, they're considering an emergency use authorization, meaning that it has not passed the full breadth of what it normally should, but they're emergency authorizing it because we're supposed to be in danger. But we're not, though. The numbers directly from the CDC show you that you are not in danger, that if you're under 60, you're pretty much completely good to go. And even then, I argue that those numbers themselves are being manipulated with the inclusion of pneumonia numbers and flu numbers and a bloated PCR test. And I'm beginning to wonder whether it's happening at all. And yes, I've been saying that from the beginning. Don't act like I just came to some profound realization. I've been considering all of these things from the very beginning. And it says, quote, until a COVID-19 vaccine is formally licensed by the FDA and recommended for use by certain populations by the CDC, it remains an experimental vaccine. This kind of bill sends the wrong message to the public. People injured by vaccines that have been granted emergency authorization have 1 year after receiving a vaccine to file a claim and prove their injury under the Countermeasures Injury Compensation Program, a federal government program established as a result of the PREP Act. Certain survivors of people who died from those vaccines also qualify, meaning because they've given indemnity, immunity from liability to all of these people, including the nurses and the infrastructure and every other part about this, there's no way you can... If you get hurt in a very serious way, your best bet is to go through the government and their program they set up, which pulls that money from taxpayer pockets, which is a guarantee. Mark my words, a guarantee that we're going to be talking about this years later with all kinds of issues and billions of, you know, who knows how much. If we're paying $4 billion out from this program now, imagine what happens when we rush out an experimental vaccine that's going to cause all kinds of the point being is that this will likely be dismissed and ignored. Act like if we have neurological problems, they'll act like it's some kind of environmental issue. They will, or whatever you want to call it. It'll be something else other than this vaccine. The PREP Act declaration for COVID-19 went into effect on February 4th. If the New York mandatory COVID-19 vaccine bill is approved, the bill will take effect immediately. Quote, informed consent to medical risk-taking is a human right. Legislators should not forget that when proposing bills that use coercion and apply sanctions to force citizens to use vaccines without their voluntary consent. Exactly. Exactly, exactly, exactly. How we continue to point out that you have that right and your government is actively ignoring that right. Please do not miss that point. Here's the actual documentation from the bill being introduced in New York State. Here's exactly what it says. Requires a COVID-19 vaccine to be administered in accordance with the Department of Health's COVID-19 Vaccination Administration Program and mandates vaccination in certain situations, which those situations are as follows. In public health officials determines that residents of a state are not developing sufficient immunity. So even understand 100% took the vaccine and they, or let's just say, well, whatever, let's say 80% took the vaccine. And for whatever reason, they didn't reach immunity that they thought they would. They're still then going to force the other 20% to take it. The department shall mandate vaccination for all individuals or groups of individuals who, as shown by clinical data, are proven to be safe to receive the such vaccine. Which, by the way, historically speaking, means absolutely nothing. Because the very people who have the profit motive to push this out are the people who are being looked at to prove, quote unquote, that it's safe. Just like people like Robert Kadlec in the past proved that the Bioemergent Solutions vaccine was safe. And it went on to kill and hurt a lot of people. And they proved that in a case against the Pentagon where they proved that they knowingly put out a vaccine that hurt people without testing it properly. And that guy is still in charge, and they later use that same vaccine months later. That's what it looks like, accountability within a broken system where the criminals are running what's happening. proven to be safe is something that happens every time. That happened in 1976, that happened in 2009, and every time we see all the side effects, and every time there's an excuse afterward, and every time we act like it's not going to happen again. How about we start realizing that that was what was supposed to happen? That we are the guinea pigs. 3, any individual who has received a medical exemption from a licensed medical professional shall not be mandated to receive the vaccine and shall be excluded from the requirements of this section. Now, the reality is that most of these like doctors who are already misinformed about masks and misinformed about all the things we're talking about are going to toe the line. So if you care about this, and by the way, I argue that right now there's plenty of people that are medically exempt from all sort of things like masks and otherwise, and they don't honor those either. That this is just a statement to make it seem like there's some kind of exemption. Regardless, I think it's time to find doctors who are willing to write you an exemption from something that you shouldn't be forced to have in the first place. This act shall take effect immediately. Now, again, remember that we just told you that 4 volunteers got facial paralysis after taking the Pfizer vaccine, not the placebo, the vaccine. But because people naturally get facial paralysis all at the same time, right after taking a vaccine, right? Like, that's what they're saying. Well, we don't know it was a vaccine. It could have just been a natural occurrence that 4 out of 164 all of a sudden developed the exact same problem right after the same time. I mean, that's just the dumbest thing you could possibly say. But they'll err on the side of we don't know for sure, except when it's something they want to report about, like baseless claims coming out of Syria from people that you can't verify. Well, they'll happily report that as absolute fact. Assad bombed somewhere, or somebody happened in Venezuela, didn't you know, because somebody told us from across the country that we don't know about. Like, but you see, when they have actual information that shows you that 4 people did that, we don't know for sure. So they'll always say we don't know for sure unless you can prove it beyond a shadow of a doubt. But where they want you to believe something, all you need is a statement from somebody in a position where they act like they're respectable. It's called a double standard. It's called hypocrisy. But on top of that, we have Yahoo News reporting that UK probing if allergic reactions linked to a Pfizer vaccine, which apparently there's this outbreak of massive allergic reactions and people are reporting about this all over the place. I've had trouble really confirming some of this, but coming from Yahoo News, they're probing this because of that. So we at least can acknowledge that that did happen. The breadth of it, how big it was, I haven't been able to really nail that down. Please send me anything you see about this. But it says Britain's medical regulator warned Wednesday that people with a history of serious allergic reactions, so like half the country, shouldn't receive the COVID-19 vaccine from Pfizer or BioNTech as investigators look into whether 2 reactions on the first day of the country's vaccination program were linked to the shot. Now, again, my point is I've heard that it was a lot more than 2, but I have yet to confirm that. So here's Yahoo at least confirming that we did see reactions. 2 reactions on the first day. So what they're saying is people with food allergies, which, by the way, is there's a real case, a real legitimate gathering of evidence that suggests that all these food allergies and the rise in all of these, the chronic inflammation and all that we just talked about it, all these other issues are because of vaccines. So think about that as we're talking about this, causing those very same things and then saying that, oh, everybody with a food reaction should wait. Well, realize that that is a wildly high prevalence is wildly high in this population. So are they honestly telling us that most of the people in this country should not take the vaccine? Or excuse me, I'm forgetting that this is Britain's medical regulator. Nonetheless, the argument is very similar because we know that Britain and the U.S. are on very similar paths. So it's the same idea. Are they really suggesting that that large portion of the population should not get the vaccine? I think you're going to be shocked to realize how many people actually have food allergies because they really just don't care. But it says, in the meantime, the Medical and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency has said people who should not receive the vaccine. People should not, God, I love it when I find typos in mainstream media just because I just like that. But it says people, in the meantime, the Medical and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency has said people should not receive the vaccine if they have had a significant allergic reaction to a vaccine, food or medicine, such as those who have been told to carry an adrenaline shot, such as an EpiPen. A lot of people. I just find that funny because, you know, Yahoo News, huge, huge, lots of people. Lots of employees, people who are checking this, multiple editors, right? It's just me over here. I rarely have something like that happen in my articles written by Derek or Whitney or whoever else. Just ridiculous. I don't think they really care about being as good as they pretend that they think they are. Just an observation. But I mean, this is add this to the growing list of the outpour of issues. Of neurological issues, of reactions, of headaches, of you know, severe deaths, allergic reactions. I mean, this is just ridiculous. It really is. Like the continuation of this story, and as they continue to pretend like it's not that big of a deal and we're being crazy about it, it's getting really difficult to keep that under wraps. And my point was, where is the mainstream coverage of this? Isn't that not a really important thing to point out? Of course not. Yes, Yahoo is a mainstream outlet. What I'm talking about is by and large. If you're seeing that people could potentially get food allergies from this thing and they've actually said to hold off, they're informing the public, if you have a food allergy, you shouldn't do this, and the media just ignores it, that is malfeasance. Like I believe there's another term for, I think malfeasance applies to the government, but yeah, hey, same point. They are the government. So malfeasance, right? So let's say a person that night who could have heard from the mainstream that that was the case, the next day they go out to join the trial in the Pfizer vaccine, knowing that they've got food allergies, but not being told. I mean, I would argue that Pfizer should probably say that to them. But the point is that the media is failing to do what they tell us their job is. We know what their real job is. It's to lie to you. It's to deceive you. It's to manipulate your perception. But understand within their narrative, this is a huge, huge failure. They ignored that information, put people at risk, like so many other things that they do. Now, on this note, though, realize that we're talking about all of these correlations with previous vaccines that are clearly there, that they just don't want you thinking about. As we just played the other day, the idea that there's a huge prevalence of these things with our children, as they're literally telling us, oh, this is actually the wrong one, it was this one, as they're telling us that there's these allergic reactions and that that's most people and they shouldn't, and those people doing it should not be taking this vaccine. Well, I want to play this clip again. One, because I know this is what pisses YouTube off, and they're probably going to censor this video too, but don't care. As long as it gets playing right now, people can see it right now. After that, screw YouTube. Hashtag boycott YouTube, or all the time, really. But it's important to still get this information out there for people to see. And by the way, for those that are wondering, yes, I'm still completely locked out. By the way, I can take this moment to actually prove that to you. As we go to YouTube, and I try to log in under sign in, it takes me to this page. After, if it loads, taking... Oh, it's freezing on me. Of course it is. After it's done freezing, you'll see that it takes you to the page that shows you, oops, switched over, this one. Unable to access a Google product, saying that I am banned on the entire Google account system, right? The point being that the only reason that I'm able to get this show right now playing on YouTube is because Restream still has it on the backup right here. One day that's going to be removed. I'm not sure why. This is why I can never pick the image or anything else like that. I just happen to have that still connected. One day it's going to get stopped. I'm not sure when or how or what, but the point being is that's the only reason it's still there. Anyway, now the point was, if I lose my train of thought, right, the video that we're going to play based on this concept. And now I was saying, that's right, that I'm saying this is why I'm playing this, because I love to piss them off. But this is a really important video. One that's from February, right in the beginning of all this. And this is a expert called in front of Congress who is telling you that this is a problem that's been here long before COVID-19.
I heard earlier that there's no real concern about aluminum because it's such a small amount, and so it really shouldn't matter. But the kind of aluminum that we put into vaccines is a different kind of aluminum that we see environmentally. This is called a nanoparticle, and nanoparticles bind really tightly to the bacteria antigens, the virus antigens, the food protein antigens, and any other contaminants that are in the vaccines that we may not know about. And we know that the biochemical properties of nanoparticles is that they are capable of entering the brain. And so we have not evaluated the safety of the aluminum nanoparticle and its injection and where it goes when it gets into the body and whether it gets into the brain. Do vaccine ingredients belong in the brain? No. Do they get into the brain? No one has ever studied it. But animal studies using the same chemicals that are in vaccines that we give to children directly demonstrate that the vaccine ingredients do enter the brain. We are ignoring this information. There are scientists in Europe who've actually done studies on the aluminum nanoparticle and have shown that it can persist in the brain for years and decades. And so what we're seeing is a large outbreak of neurodevelopmental disabilities in adults, including Alzheimer's. And one of the main factors that they're finding in the brains of people with Alzheimer's is the aluminum nanoparticle that's directly related to the vaccines that we're giving. So we have never studied whether the aluminum that we're giving in vaccines gets into the brain, and we've never measured whether it stays in the brain and what it does if it does stay in the brain. But we do know that vaccines are supposed to cause inflammation in the body. But we have more than half of our children with chronic inflamed conditions. And we've never allowed ourselves to ask the question, if the vaccines cause inflammation acutely, do they continue to create inflammation chronically? We have 1 in 5 with neurodevelopmental disabilities, 1 in 10 with ADD and ADHD, 1 in 35 with autism, 1 in 11 with asthma, and 1 in 20 under the age of 5 with seizures. And the autoimmune diseases are exponentially rising, and we are finding that the viruses and the bacteria that we're injecting into the body, along with the adjuvants, create something called molecular mimicry, which means the body sees those viruses thinking that it's foreign, but actually finds pieces of those viruses that match pieces of the self. And the immune system doesn't differentiate between what it's been told to reject and itself. So it will turn the immune system on itself, leading to an autoimmune condition. We know this about hepatitis B. We know it about the Gardasil vaccine, and we know it about the flu vaccine. And we continue to say unequivocally that the vaccines have been studied effectively.
It's incredible that such information, it's I challenge anyone to point out why that's not real or why that's not true. It is true. I've looked it up myself. I did it the other day in a previous show. The idea that this is the concept that more than half our children have chronic inflammation and vaccines are, all of this stuff. I mean, I don't want to get buried in this again because I'll get pulled into my thoughts on this video. It's an excellent video. The idea that they continue to unequivocally say that these things are safe and tested, it's simply not true. There's obvious things that are being ignored because there's politics involved here. And of course, we have doctors who care more about the politics, but then we have doctors who have been conditioned to believe the people above them, who more or less care about the politics more than anything, are the ones that they need to unequivocally listen to. So when the head of the CDC or the head of the FDA, who are people that you should not be listening to, tell them something, they take it as facts. That's how they were trained. Now, as we get to this, now there it was. This is the point. I jumped ahead for that. We need to realize that this is not new, guys. I don't know where that was. I wanted to show you real quick since I'm referencing it. Oh gosh, I'm all over the place. Oh well, we'll just go through it. We're going to talk about the FDA. And regulatory capture. Oh, it was right here. There it is. Just because this point just seemed very relevant to what I was just saying. Normally, I line these up in a way that I think they make sense, but sometimes I like to jump around. You know me. But we're talking about this. Right? We're talking about the fact that he's telling you these things. We know this. We know that. We know that these things cause this. And yet we act like we're totally good. This is why. The former FDA commissioner, Scott Gottlieb, joins Pfizer's board of directors. Right. FDA, you mean the group that's supposed to actually be making sure these things are safe? But yeah, now he's working for the company that he was supposed to be keeping accountable? Gee, I don't know if maybe they offered him a really cushy job before this to maybe make certain decisions. Anyone who's shaking your head like that's how dare you suggest that is naive. Because that is 100% something that's happened routinely throughout this country's history, as well as any government. As I simply said, nothing to see here. This is totally normal behavior from our freedom-loving, authoritarian, technocratic oligarchy. Conflicts of interest and revolving door politics, which is what this is, that's how our government shows us they really love us. Didn't you know that? As somebody points out down here I'd like to point it out right here. But regulatory capture is a conspiracy theory, right? It's pathetic. It's pathetic how often people ignore this stuff because they act like because they're afraid to be called a conspiracy theorist. One of the most successful CIA operations in history, in my opinion, is convincing the public that anything that's called a conspiracy theory is somehow dangerous for you, or at least that's the current iteration of this manipulation, but at least that you shouldn't talk about it. Former FDA commissioner is now on Pfizer's board of directors. That is obscene. And that's what he's telling you, that they don't care about these things. And the reason they don't care is because the people who are supposed to tell you those things are now on the board of, are holding out for positions on the very boards of the companies they're supposed to be holding accountable. But I keep, as I showed you a moment ago, on top of all of that, we're now hearing at least from Russia that, well, you can't even drink alcohol for 2 months after the COVID-19 vaccine. What? I mean, this is outrageous. On top, more than just because that it's something that they're acting like we absolutely need or we're all going to die, but that they're slowly inching towards making you do it regardless of all the things that we keep seeing. As I just showed you the other day, I reported that two had previously died, which we now know is six, but those two absolutely died who took the vaccine and they're acting like that's not important. We know that and right before that, they got, less than a week before that, they were given indemnity. Immunity from liability, from hurting anybody. And the boss of Pfizer in the UK refused to talk about why. We will not tell anybody. We won't even speak on why we're allowing people to not be held accountable for things they should be held accountable for. Well, this is why we're now getting pushed the idea that, well, we need to adjust our expectations. And this is not actually a new article, but this is continuing to be right now being pushed through everything. Yeah, we need to adjust our expectations about this. I saw somebody comment about this. Why? Because you lied about what was going to happen and now we're finding that out? Yes, that's why. It's going to let you go back to normal when this comes around. And now it's coming around and they're going, well, pump the brakes. It's going to be going on for years after this. So it's not adjusting expectations. It's acknowledging an obvious fallacy. Just like in the beginning when they said, oh, these people are going to die, 3.6% death rate, based on models that turn out to be very quickly shown to be false. And we've never changed course. But we need to adjust our expectations, not the other way around, right? Well, Fauci continues to tell you, again, that you won't return to normal until mid-2021. And as he says right here, after warning that normality might not return until the middle of next year, Dr. Fauci said Wednesday that people should continue to practice social distancing and mask wearing well into next year, even as vaccines are rolled out. Though in a slightly more pessimistic note, Dr. Fauci claims that a large chunk of the population may never change its behavior, at least not without the cooperation of political leadership. Gee, I wonder what he meant by that. What do you think, guys? What do you think he meant by political, by with the influence of political leadership? I don't know. I can't really think about what he must have meant right there. But we also see the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center taking a different course. Like, realize how crazy that is. When we're talking about Fauci saying that's what other doctors are saying, he doesn't know what he's talking about, that we have to get this and we have to do that and we're all going to be. And then here is an actual medical professional saying that he will not require his staff to take the COVID-19 vaccine due to general uncertainty. Is this an anti-science conspiracy theorist? He's pointing to science, guys. He's pointing to science and saying the science shows us that there's general uncertainty about this vaccine. Why? Because there is. Because we just showed you all the deaths and side effects and problems and uncertainty about how it's actually going to roll out. So at what point can we put to bed the absurd mainstream bleeding about only anti-science people are challenging this? All the blue checks and Twitter sycophants are out there saying, you're so stupid. Here's what only conspiracy theorists think that. So the University of Pittsburgh Medical Center, the entire medical center, or the leadership there are all anti-science conspiracy theorists? I mean, of course, anything's possible, but it's ridiculous. The point is, that's not a real thing. I shouldn't say it like that. I'm sure there's people that don't believe in science that are also what they would see as, they'd even call themselves conspiracy theorists. The point is that just because we're what they call conspiracy theorists, which ultimately means you're willing to question the official narrative, which has been shown to be right 100 times over, but just because we're there does not mean that we don't believe in science. In fact, it means the exact opposite. It means that we're willing to actually look at the science instead of report what we're told the science says. This guy, I would argue, is an actual doctor who actually does his research and actually believes in informed consent because he's actually understanding that there is general uncertainty and he's unwilling to allow you to put at risk put your family and yourself at risk because of an agenda. But on that note, remember, just want to point out real quickly before I reference the video here is that YouTube once again censored my previous video on immunity passports. You know that totally fake thing that's not happening? As NBC just did a segment on that very idea. Facts or fake news on YouTube? Let's get that hashtag going, guys. This is ridiculous. This is a really incredible point in time where literally facts or fake news on YouTube. It's crazy. It's really very, very, it's visceral. It's right in our face. I only post this to show others what YouTube really is And yes, I am on all the other platforms. I say that because when I post these, people tend to go, why aren't you on Odyssey? And it's like, did you look for me there? I'm on literally every platform you could probably think of. Everywhere. I post these so that people lost on YouTube can continue to see what they really are. But as I said, immunity passports are apparently only fake news when I talk about them. Here's a clip. Check this out. This is NBC. Like, if not today, I had the actual jumping ahead here, but this is on December 7th is when this actually came out. Check this out.
Proving you've been vaccinated will be vital, and tech companies are designing ways to show it. Jolene Kent has more on that.
With vaccines on the horizon, new health apps are springing to life. IBM and Clear, the tech company known for expediting security screenings at airports, are both creating new apps to take in real-time vaccination information. They could eventually be used for admission to concerts and live sports.
So here's how it works. The app gives you a health pass to show before you go into big stadiums like this to streamline the process, to make it safer and faster for you to get to your seat.
It'll flash green if your health information meets requirements.
A stadium or a venue would not see your personal health data. Everything is opt-in and you control your information.
But how much information will Clear have, even though the stadium may only see the green?
It's a secure identity platform. We don't hold your health data.
The LA Football Club, a Major League Soccer team, says HealthPass is part of their reopening plan next year.
How much do you need technology like this to be able to fill these seats again?
It's going to be a must. It's an expectation of government officials that ultimately will decide when and how we can bring fans back. We also want to know that when we get up to go to a concession stand, when we walk into the team store, that the other people that came through the gates and are here with us are also safe.
For live events, Ticketmaster is exploring several options, including a smartphone verification system for vaccination status and negative tests. The Australian government has also said it may require proof of vaccination in the future for entry into the country. A glimpse into a vaccinated future and a new normal. Jolene Kent, NBC News, Los Angeles.
A glimpse into a vaccinated future and a new normal. Yeah, that wasn't scripted at all. It's just so we're aware, by the way, actually, that was the main, this, it's funny because somebody commented this was edited or whatever, but it turns out I think he was trying to be sarcastic and I didn't realize, but just so we're aware, this is 100% accurate. I was going to play it again, but it does not necessary. You can clearly see that this is the video and this is there. It's right here. Same thing. Wasn't edited. It's all, I checked it myself. It's all the same stuff, but here's what's crazy about this. Oh, you can't see it. Hold on. This was what I was showing you. Just so you can see that this is the video, this is the same thing, this is, you know, exactly the same video. But what's interesting about this, guys, is that this is something that was considered fake news. I mean, back to the point, this was, my video was just censored. My video was called, Immunity Cards Are Now Official, and More Experts Speak Out About COVID Vaccines. Now, this was about immunity passports and the fact that they are happening, and then experts and their comments about the vaccine. That's it. That's all this was. And this was censored because it was fake news. No, it was censored because what they're saying is it violates our medical misinformation policy, right? Because their policy is they only allow misinformation, right? Because somebody made that joke too. Kind of sounds counterintuitive. Shouldn't it be a medical information policy? Yes, it should. But the point is here that they're claiming that I'm violating their medical misinformation policy. And maybe that is actually literal. Maybe it's because they only allow misinformation. But the point here, guys, is that immunity passports are clearly official and experts are speaking out about these vaccines. But apparently only when mainstream talks about it. Even then, it looks like they censor themselves and change their headlines. But even when only when mainstream talks about it, only then is it allowed. Because we're staring at it right here. Here's NBC talking about exactly what I was saying. And in fact, reporting the same information, except giving you more information, saying that, yes, they claim that they don't have access to your data, but the government does. That's the point. That is the point. And that's what we keep telling you. They're acting like this is your information won't be shared with your neighbor, or in this case, the company. First of all, I argue that that's nonsense, but that's my opinion. But the idea that the government will not have access to this information is a ridiculous joke. Remember when they said they don't have access to your personal phone calls and your emails and your metadata, right? All those things were clearly the case, even when they continued to lie to you. And Clapper got up and said, no, that's not happening. They lied to you. And then they never held him accountable for that. Just like that. We're talking about this right now where you, I can promise you that this information will be used, just like the UK said, no, we're not going to sell your information from the contact tracing program. And then they got caught selling that information from the contact tracing program to a marketing firm. That's a true story. I covered it on this show. And they just acted like it was a kind of misunderstanding. It's absurd. This stuff is very clearly here, guys, and it's time for us to acknowledge that reality. As AirAsia points out, the CEO, Asian nations, quote, won't let anyone in without a vaccination. This is where we are. This is not going away. They are going to continue to create a situation where you either cannot live your life without this highly dangerous vaccine that's potentially causing all kinds of very alarming outbreaks in different scenarios around the world that no one wants to address, or they're just going to simply mandate it and say, you have to, no matter what. And then when you go to try to get a medical exemption, they're going to have a reason for why that doesn't qualify for this or for that or blah, blah, blah. Because it has nothing to do with the truth. It has nothing to do with keeping you safe. Now, that doesn't mean that every single person in every step is along with some massive conspiracy. I do believe that there is a lot of people in positions of power that very clearly are on the same path of some large agenda here. But just like I point out about the epidemic that wasn't. Hoping it pops up when I search for it. There it is. I'm not going to dive into this again, but I just want you to understand, this is from 2007. Faith in quick test leads to the epidemic that wasn't. And the bottom line is that they used a PCR test for discovering whether or not people in this state had whooping cough after they discovered what they thought was a whooping cough outbreak. They used a PCR test. They got tests that they told them it was the whooping cough. They shut down everything. 8 months this went on. 8 months. People were given vaccines. People were given antibiotics. Entire hospitals were shut down. Actions were taken in numerous hospitals. And all these people were controlled in what they thought was an epidemic for 8 months. After it was all said and done, it says, not a single case of whooping cough was confirmed with the definitive test, which was growing the bacterium pertussis, which is whooping cough, in the laboratory. Instead, it appeared the healthcare workers probably were affected by ordinary respiratory diseases like the common cold. Now, as they look back on this episode, epidemiologists and infectious disease specialists say the problem was that they placed too much faith in a quick and highly sensitive molecular test that led them astray. 8 months later, healthcare workers were dumbfounded to receive an email message from the hospital administration informing them that the whole thing was a false alarm. So here's the point. We know, and they even make the point in this article to say that we need to continue to look at this because this is the biggest example, but not the only, and this is a problem that we need to know. It's a problem. We know it's a problem. My guess is what happened at Dartmouth is going to become more common in 2007. And you're telling me that they don't think about this when they use the PCR test in exactly the way that's guaranteed to give you false positives, as we're now finding out? This is an orchestrated manipulation, guys. And the reality is that I want you to understand that just because this is happening does not mean that every person out there is part of some deception. And therefore, you should dismiss that it's happening because how could all these people be involved? People are believing what they're told from people that they believe they can trust. Trusting authority has always led here. Always. These people did what they thought was right, and it turned out to be the epidemic that wasn't, according to the New York Times. So why can't we consider that that's where we are now, and that people at certain stages in certain positions recognized that people were falling for this and used it to achieve all the things they're trying to achieve, based on a test that is testing for something that has not been isolated, testing for something that has not been confirmed. We're still testing from a sample that was taken from China in the very beginning of all this. But China didn't let us know, right? The Kung Flu, it's all their fault. But yet we're using their material to continue to test for this right now under Trump's administration. How does that even make sense? It doesn't. This is an illusion. And it is time for us to wake up from it. Thank you for being here. And I'm hoping that you will share this information and ask more questions about things. Dig into the stories. Look into what happened in India. Reach out to me. Let's find out what's really going on. And let's wake people up. I love you all, as always. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.
يصنعوا فيروس وينشروه في العالم باش الشركات الرأسمالية تحصل أموال. الأمصال ما تباع، الدواء لا يباع. إذا كانت هي تباع بثمن غالي معناها تجارة. اعلنوا قولوا الدواء مجاني. الأمصال المجانية مش حتنتشر الفيروسات اللي خلقوا فيها باش يعملوا أمصال وباش تكسب منها الشركات الرأسمالية. المصانع تشتغل
بتاعت المخابرات.